DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This thing, they're going to Nashville, but they're not doing a show in Memphis. Also seems like they're not doing a show in Ohio, which is where most of Bone Thugs are from. So I find this very peculiar as to why they're not stopping in Memphis or Ohio. But
maybe that's about the places themselves.
Yeah, some people speculated like that where? They're too big for Minglewood, not big enough for FedEx Forum. So,
and I guess
Simmons Bank not ready yet.
Ed Scott said, I'll pass on this one. That's a little tough. We already got Chris
Brown. We don't
Brown.
Have a mid-sized venue, bro.
We already dealing with Chris Brown. Chris, he wasn't there last night, I'm assuming. Is he still in the UK? Did he get? Is he back yet?
I don't know.
Did they release him?
I have not checked
he
on
was
that.
In, he was in jail. Yeah, I'm going to need you to check on it before the concert here.
Yeah, we got time.
Because that thing might be our first, you know, foray back into concerts. It might be, our man might be postponed.
Yeah,
I think he got held up by
I guess all the 3-6 Mafia fans are all old now. I mean,
but back to this. Are you offended?
I'm a little offended. I wouldn't have
you
gone,
wouldn't
though.
Gone.
So it doesn't
you wouldn't
really,
have
like,
gone.
I don't
You're not coming out of the cove.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying here.
If I had been willing to go, maybe I would have more credibility. But it does seem strange, though, doesn't it? Like that they wouldn't do a damn show. Like we really don't have a venue that can accommodate 4,000 people.
Again, I'm thinking that's more about the venues themselves than it is about their willingness to do one here. My guess is they're more than willing.
Well, they won't sell out the Forum. There's no doubt
right.
about that.
It's too big.
How many does Minglewood sit?
It's more now, isn't it? Since they've remodeled it, Cerrito can tell you.
Well, is Cerrito in the building?
Dude, he's packed that
Cerrito
thing out
on
with
demand.
He's packed that thing out with wrestling events. He's packed it out. Back,
let's see.
Yes, and other events, I believe.
I don't know.
I went and saw Pete Davidson, and I think there were 1,000 at that get for Pete seated in
so
that corner.
So it looks like up to 1,650 people.
There you go.
Yeah,
and that's probably not going to be enough for 3-6 and Bone Thugs. So you can't
need more than that.
Yeah. So what about the Orpheum? How many does the Orpheum hold?
Probably 2,500. I bet 2,000, 2,200.
Let's see. I was gonna ask, the Orpheum holds 2,300.
Yeah,
pretty good at this, BC.
Yeah, just because of the music stations. We used to do all these concert events. So you're in this. Mud Island was a mid-tier, but it'd be 4,500 to 5,000.
You could have probably done it at Mud Island.
If it were still rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That would have been probably ideal.
Yeah, you're talking about Landers Center is like 10.
They don't want to do that. You don't want to do it in South Haven, though.
Right.
You don't want, you know, that's not going to be your style.
You don't target.
Think that somebody else would suggest, you don't think they'll tag on at some point?
They could.
Add on the Memphis Date.
Free country.
Just
it's just the initial wave.
Where in Nashville did we say?
It doesn't say the venue.
Oh, interesting.
It doesn't.
Okay.
It just says, you know, the city,
just
right?
It says city.
But, right. I mean, I had that same thought, like, because you're not going to do it at Bridgestone, surely.
Right. Does it list the venues of the other places
no.
or just the cities
just
too?
Just the cities,
okay,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, well. Yeah.
There is a brand new, Journey just played this new venue in Nashville. It's beautiful. I saw the pictures of it. Google Journey Concert Nashville. It's 4,500 seats. It's like a jewel box type of environment. I forget where it is. It's so kick-ass. Memphis doesn't have one of those. You know, a jewel box, 4,500 with walls, with screens. I mean, that's...
Okay, here we go. Ascend Amphitheater.
Is that... I think
is
that's
where
it.
It's going to be in Nashville.
No, it's an amphitheater. That's different.
Almost all of these are amphitheaters.
Oh.
That's outside, right?
I think so.
That's what amphitheater means?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like South Haven, like if you're going Snowden Grove. Mm-hmm.
And we only have Radians in Memphis, right?
You have the Garden, which is about
Botanic
an 8,000-seater.
But Botanic Gardens ain't doing 3-6.
Nope.
Probably not.
They'll do Third Eye Blind. That's the three they'll do. They ain't doing 3-6, though.
Well.
Third Eye, yes. 3-6, no. So.
I don't know. Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie.
Getting very calm.
I saw Tony Braxton there.
Tony Braxton. Dude, three. Yeah, okay, yeah. Again, that still tracks with the others, though. 3-6 and
Vegas
Bone Thugs. You know?
They're kind of mid. I
no,
mean,
it's not so much about the mid. It's about
no.
The,
I mean, they have an urban appeal, but you know, it seems like white folks enjoy those artists.
It's just like they have a particular audience they cater to.
It's mainstream,
to.
I guess. I don't know.
3-6 is definitely like not Tony Braxton, not Lionel Richie. It's not. It's just a different genre. It's a different vibe altogether. You know, they're talking about doing you know, pills and weed and drugs and all kinds.
Well, the interesting thing,
they don't want that in the Botanic.
There was reporting that when the Landers Center let go, you know, they got into that dispute with the former booker of that venue. Then they tossed that dude out. One of the things that came up was that he was, you know, they were not wanting acts. He's bringing urban acts to him, and they were like, nah, you know, that was part of the reporting on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's just the content matter just doesn't. It's just not what they do. So, I guess I understand. We only have that really one option. If we had Mud Island, I think they'd be at Mud Island.
Yeah,
but we don't have it anymore.
Are they going to redo Mud Island? There was talks of it.
It's on the list with the Mid-South Coliseum. You know, we'll get to it at some point.
I mean, that should be a priority with what you're trying to do around the MSEC.
That's right.
Around Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium, and Simmons Bank. What are we talking about?
Yep.
You know that MSEC on that soccer side where they have the bigger seats? You could put 3,000 in there and put a concert in that side if you opened it.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to make more money. I mean, you could put 3,000 because that's a giant, you know, auditorium basically.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know if they'll go there or not.
Don't know. Anyway, interesting stuff. We'll come back with the rundown. Got maybe one of the best stories in college sports going on right now in the sports calendar. We'll get to all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, I just trying to fam ESPN.
Leaders Credit Union is here for you. They're here for John and myself as our fantastic studio sponsor here every day for us. I'm also part of that Leaders family. They've stepped up for us. We've stepped up to join. We got a little Chris as a part of that. He's a future Leaders saver. He's watching his money grow. We've downloaded the app. You'll love the app. State-of-the-art technology. You see, when Leaders makes money as a not-for-profit financial institution that's fully owned by you, members, and that's what you be, it goes back into the credit union. So back into the technology, making it better than most banks. You got more fee-free ATMs than Bank of America. No matter where you are in Memphis, you're close to your money. If you still like to have that cash on top of you. Again, and Leaders can do a lot for you, whether it's a home equity loan, home and equity line of credit. You can do that at 5.99 APR right now, rates as low as 5.99. Or a Compass Black credit card. Get you through the summer, earn 3% cash back on every purchase and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. So a bunch of options. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to check them out. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion.
Do we have a little bit of injury news in the NBA Finals? We may. Get to that in just a second. But before I throw it to the rundown, I did just want to come out on the record for myself personally. This is not I am not speaking for the show. you know, we are autonomous, right? Jason and John do a show together, but we are autonomous at times when it comes to, you know, opinions shared. Although I do think we're on the same page here. The Grizzlies are fine in the West. I'm kidding. The Grizzlies are fine at backup point guard, more than fine at backup point guard. I was personally offended by a poll earlier today on the station, on the Jeff Calkins show. I was personally offended. I was offended both by the fact that 3-6 not doing a show here, but I was also offended by the fact that the Jeff Calkins show poll, in asking what the Grizzlies need the most, where they need the most help, they had as an option backup point guard. Scottie Pippen Jr. FC. Scottie Pippen Jr. FC. Did he not just score 30 in game 4 against the Thunder? I know that it was a closeout game and the Thunder were moving on and whatever. But, like, if we needed backup point guard help for the Grizzlies, the dude who was in that position wouldn't be scoring 30 points against the eventual NBA champion. So, we straight on back. What's he make, $400 a year? I mean, We're more than fine on backup. I can't believe it was even an option. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. And as a result, I can't believe anybody voted for it. 8.4% of the vote is what it garnered. The overwhelming majority, which is where I come down, is that you need wing help. They've needed wing help since the team moved here, essentially, in 2001. So, anyway, yeah, 8.2%. Backup point guard, 59.1% of the vote, a quality wing, 32.7% help at center.
I mean, he's making 2.2, 2.4, 2.7 over the next 3 years. You got him locked up.
Amazing.
We used to, you know, Tyus Jones, you had to let him roll because
That's
of
right.
what he was making. And you said you can't pay a backup point guard $20 million. And you know, here's one that's you're paying $2 million. You're doing it for the next 3 years. Well, it gets closer to $3 million, but the point is still the same. It's what you want. Now, and but the same thing applies. By the time you get to playoffs, the hope is John Moran is playing and you're not having to play Scottie Pippen Jr. much. Here's the thing, though. Defensively, he can help you. You know, we've seen it. And we've seen him be out there and cause some issues defensively. The issue for him at point guard has been cleaning up the turnovers. It has been an issue for him, and that is why some would tell you they've got a problem with him in that role. That the you're never going to have the perfect thing. He's damn near perfect, John.
Yeah.
And that whatever, whether it's offense, whether it's, you know, on that second unit, just taking care of it, being the guy to relieve Ja, or being out there with him and defensively bringing something to the table, he's useful in a bunch of ways, but more importantly, he's useful on at a price that you like for the next three.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
While you are paying the big three, trying to get them all paid, you know, you want this kind of deal on your roster. So what are we talking about?
He's amazing. On that deal, he's amazing.
On this deal, you got a backup point guard on this deal.
It's not as good as the Nesmith contract, but it's in the conversation.
You know, I don't care that he's not 4-1 on assist to turnover ratios. Like, remember, like Tyus used to be leading the league, but you were paying Tyus an exorbitant amount that you couldn't do once you start paying Ja Morant. You couldn't do that with those guys. This guy, you're paying 2.72 in year four of this thing. What are we talking about? It's a great deal you're on. So I'm with you. The backup point guard.
Yeah, I mean, this is not something to be serious about. He had 30 against the Thunder, man. He was the best player in that game. I mean, he played better than Bane. He played better than Jaren. He played better than everybody.
Yeah.
So we're good.
I'd chill on that 30, though. I mean, you're going to hold it up for.
I will. Against the Thunder, I'm going to hold it up. If it was against, like, you know, the Mavs or something, I'd say, who cares? But Thunder, as good as they are defensively, He was doing everything for the Grizz in that game. They were 15.5-point underdogs. They almost win the game outright, and it was only because of Scottie Pippen Jr.
Can he be a factor in a playoff game when Ja Morant is on the floor?
We're going to have to – that's the question. Yes.
But here's the deal. You're only paying him 2.4, 2.7,
exactly.
Right? So he hits everything else.
Literally no risk.
So why are we worried about that?
Not worried about that at all. You're not
exactly. –
I don't even think that's the point. I don't even think the Grizzlies
not a concern.
Consider another – you know what I mean? Like this – like on their – they're not even they're like, hey, we have that
address. We're good. Check that box. It's one of the few spots on the roster. Yeah, maybe I don't know how many other
options.
Maybe you have to have three.
I don't know, but I just was offended by the poll on behalf of Scottie Pippen Jr.
Well, just calm down.
I'm sure he sees it. He's like, "What do I got to do, man? What do I got to do to not be a concern for the Grizzlies? I mean, I put up 30 in an elimination game." You know, I scored more than Desmond Bain, scored more than Jaren Jackson Jr. What do y'all want me to do, man? Like, everybody just calm down. Scottie Pippen Jr. is a strength of this team, not a weakness.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's one of our dogs.
He is.
I got it.
He is. How many guys in his situation?
I'm just not holding him up like, on to the championship we go.
No, but on to the next concern we go.
This is not a concern. Yeah. That's where I'm with you.
So we straight, bro. We all good.
He got them turnovers down to 1.7 last year.
See? We're getting better every day.
It was in fewer minutes than he got the year before, obviously.
But I'm an SPJ guy. Let me be clear about that. At first I was like, you know, going into the season, I was like, is he just a summer league bully? You know? Is he just a guy that beat up on young guys who haven't been playing basketball at the professional level?
No, he was a real find.
And it turns out that he stamped it.
Now, Jay Huff, not as much.
Jay Huff had like one game against the Magic.
There can only be so many, you know, successful two-way stories off the Lakers that you pull off the heap and become success stories with you.
That's right.
Scotty's already living that.
That's right.
Jay can't live that life.
No.
Although he did impress us there with his reverse dunk athleticism.
That was it. That was the moment.
There ain't much other.
That was the peak.
But he doesn't help with your grittiness whatsoever.
No.
So he must be moved on from.
Agreed. All right, got some interesting developments on the NBA Finals. Let's do the rundown. What the hell? All of a sudden, what the hell? Burton is dealing with a little something. Told media today in the media day, reporters that he is dealing with a lower leg something. Didn't specify what it was, but said he's dealing with it, and said that's all there is to say about it, and that he's going to play in game three. Now, that deserves a what the helly.
Did he need to say anything?
He didn't need to say anything. He said it. And now I'm wondering, you know, is he trying to make an excuse for his performance?
So That's the natural question. Right? The natural follow-up.
He's trying to make an excuse for, my scoring is not. I mean, he did have 17, but again, we talked about it was all garbage, right?
And then, pretty sure it was 12 in the fourth.
Yeah, and he was.
No comeback.
Other than the game winner in game one, irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like he's trying to make excuses for his mediocre performances so far in these finals. But I'm just wondering, like, there's a couple of things. As a bettor, am I looking at this like this is real and this is affecting him? And, you know, I need to act on it, whether it's playing his unders or playing, you know, OKC -5 for game three, or is this just him, you know, dealing with something that everybody's dealing with at this point? But I just feel like, why would you say it?
Right.
You know, obviously something has taken. I haven't seen. Have you seen a moment where it looked like he suffered an injury? I haven't seen one. If there was one,
no,
you know, like some moment where he was limping or something.
No, nobody. Maybe I missed it, but and nobody's talked about it. Everybody's just talked about the need for him to be more aggressive.
Right.
And you're not having that discussion if you thought he was slowed by injury.
Exactly.
See my point. Nobody's been talking about injury before. It's really convenient that he brings this up right now.
Yes, but it looks like he was moving around fine at practice. Today. He did say it. I don't know if he was asked about it. I don't know if he just volunteered it, but, it's definitely notable that he mentioned that he's dealing with a lower leg thing, but will play on Wednesday. Just something to monitor. Obviously we have, another day off here before, the game tomorrow, and then it'll be the one day off thing again, which is weird. It'll be Wednesday, Friday. It's not Wednesday, Saturday. It's Wednesday, Friday.
Well, they've had enough rest.
Yeah, they have. They've gotten caught up. I just don't understand the cadence. I don't understand how it's like 2 days off, then it's just 2 days off, then it's 1 day off. Maybe it'll shorten up as the more the series goes. But
man, you just got to make it. You buy yourself some extra time just making it to the finals, don't you?
Yeah.
Get a little health.
Yeah.
You know, just for guys that are banged up. Obviously
yeah.
Nothing serious is going to get healed up between conference finals.
So, I guess it makes sense, because
a lot of time. Though.
If it goes, it's going to go five minimum, right? It'll be Wednesday, Friday, then Monday, because it's going back to OKC, so to get the extra day of travel. Then Thursday, because the extra day of travel, right? And then Sunday. Back to OKC if it's a game seven. I just don't understand why there were 2 days in OKC and only one in Indiana. That's the part of it that is just very this feels correct. Like this feels right. If both teams are already there, why do we need 2 days between?
Not sure.
You know? Yeah. I mean I guess you're trying to but you only need 2 days once. You don't need 2 days twice between home games, you know? I mean, the NBA, sometimes it feels like they don't know what the hell they're doing. A lot of people are talking about the fact that there's no finals decal on the court. They are bothered by that because they say it makes the games feel like just another game. That's what Bomani Jones was saying, that because it doesn't feel like a real finals because there's no finals regalia, you know?
So I hadn't considered that.
But there used to be the,
yeah,
you know, and I guess people slipped on it or something. I don't know. But, like, there's no finals logo on the court.
So it looks more tricked out when we're doing the dang play than it does for the finals.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's about the most NBA thing ever. Mm-hmm. But just put it on digitally, right? It can't be that hard.
Right.
Don't we put digital logos on there already?
Feels like it. I thought we were doing that.
Yeah, nobody knows the difference.
Sideline.
Yeah. So why don't we just do that? Why don't we just throw the Larry O'Brien finals logo on there? Look, I have other things to worry about in my life than whether or not the stupid finals logo is on the court. But it does seem like a very simple fix, and it would add some juice to the damn thing. But, again, I don't run the NBA, and the only thing that they seem to have going for them right now is the All-Star World versus the United States thing. That's about it. But Halliburton's dealing with something. Got Game 3 tomorrow. We'll have Fade Brad tomorrow.
Yes.
Thunder holding strong. I'm going to call it 5.5. I'm going to call it 5.5, although it does seem like it might get back to 5. Based on what I'm seeing now.
It's Halliburton's, and I struggle with it, you know, the whole, hey, just be more aggressive, take more shots, because that's not what he was in the regular season, and asking him to do the SGA-type, Anthony Edwards-type thing when he's not that dude right now is you know, when he scores 20-plus, their record is, you know, it's great, whatever it is. I don't have it in front of me, but it's not his thing. And so this I don't know that he can be more aggressive. Now, I don't like this news about the injury because it does. It seems a little bit convenient, maybe a little bit of an excuse here. Because there have been times where he's allowed himself, it feels like, to be covered up, taken out of games for too long of stretches. But he's not. I don't know. Maybe he'll develop into that guy that becomes more takeover games-ish, more MVP-ish. But he's not right now. And I don't think capable of doing it. If there's any realness to this injury, he really isn't capable of it. So, I don't know. My hopes of this going six might be back to five. They're going to win four in a row.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that right now. It does feel like they solved some things.
Well, yeah, they went back to playing Hardenstein, minutes with Chet and being the bigger team.
Well, and because Halliburton has struggled against them even in the regular season, like that, they've kind of cut the head off the snake a little bit.
He don't like when Dort's on him.
He does not like it.
He hit that shot.
Very rare. Very few people do.
Wallace was scrambling and caught Cason Wallace on him. He doesn't like when Dort's on him
because he doesn't have the length, right? Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't like being beat up. I mean, Anthony Edwards' body can take that
exactly.
And he still struggled against it. It's like it's not just Dort because it's a bunch of them coming at you. But Halliburton isn't built for that yet.
He's definitely not,
and he may never be.
He's definitely not.
Neither is your boy Ja. To be honest with you, about taking a beating. I mean,
he was assaulted.
I mean, you saw the Dort stuff. What? Again, that's just Dort. He did it to the same thing to Andy Edwards.
Yeah.
It's just that body.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. He
and, of course, it was your man, Scottie Pippen Jr., that set us up. The man you love. The backup point guard you love.
We all fall short. Like Glorilla's album, you know, like in terms of the secular versus the gospel.
She just won, though, bro. You're saying it falls short for you, but you haven't listened to it. Many are having a discussion about it. You are on the outside.
Life is complicated, man.
You don't have an opinion yet. You haven't listened to it.
We have. I've heard some songs. I haven't heard the gospel song, but I've heard Letter Cook.
I think Brad let it play when we came in here. Yeah.
It didn't sick me like it didn't like you know get in my bloodstream necessarily. But I'll give it another run through, you know. But we all fall short. There are good parts of us. There are bad parts of us. And that was a bad part of Scotty, unfortunately.
Again, on the same night, she's doing Letter Cook and got, you know.
Tail out, as you would say. The cheeks.
I'm glad you can just fill in the words now. You like my wife.
Well, that is, you call it tail, which I respect.
Just to try to keep it radio
100%,
clean.
100%.
Yeah.
This show has gotten over the years extremely crass. There's no doubt about it. And you're cleaning it up. I like it. But yeah, it just feels like Halliburton is having a hard time with the assignments here, and you know you take him out, and they'll battle like they battle. I mean, they are a fiercely resilient basketball team.
Yeah, Carlisle won't let him quit.
Yeah, using the power of nothing but friendship. But I just don't.
Some of these role players will step up, but I don't know. Maybe they'll get one.
I mean, how much more can they step up though? Them folks have been balling in the
just
first two games.
Step up enough to win one.
Yeah,
to win one in Indiana.
Yeah. It's gonna be a tall order, but
that way I get six out of it. But I'm not sure. I don't know. OKC made it the. It shouldn't have been an adjustment in the first place. To go smaller. They went back to where they should have been. But I'm not sure Indiana's got anything for it.
I think.
And if this is an excuse from Halliburton any kind of way about the injury,
right.
So he can be less aggressive because let's be real, OKC's got him figured out.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Then I really don't feel good about this going six.
One thing I will say about Raheem Palmer, man, is that he. He is 100%, like, he was of the real belief that Ja was correct and that he had figured out the Thunder, bro. Like, if we brought Raheem Palmer on here right now, he would say Ja was right, that they had figured out the Thunder. Like, he really believes the Grizzlies had the blueprint, man. I mean, they were up 29, but like, not that matters. I mean, they lost by 41 to Minnesota.
Minnesota clocked them.
And it didn't matter. They came back the next game. Like
clearly the superior team.
They won in five games.
Had an easier time with them.
And they held them to 9 points in the first quarter of the elimination game.
And did with Denver.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I agree with Raheem on that. I think they had a desperation game in game three. And until the Jai injury, we're on track to win it. But I don't think I would go as far as to say that they had that.
We ain't worried about nobody in the West. Raheem believed that too.
Raheem, you just never know with Raheem. You never know where he's going, man.
When Josh say he ain't gonna dunk no more, Raheem believe it.
Rostradamus. I don't know. That is a good question. You know, and he is a Wharton School of Business graduate. So I tend to believe he's pretty sharp. But I on this one, I'm just I don't know. Anyway, I think the Pacers win Game Four.
Okay. Well, don't sway Brad too much.
I think the Thunder win game 3, Pacers win game 4, okay. 6-game series ends on June 19th.
That's my original prediction.
Yeah. It ends okay, on Juneteenth. That would be my guess.
What's the prediction you laughed at?
Did I laugh
I'm
at
it? I'm exaggerating.
I think I said 5. I think I said, you said 6 to start?
Mm-hmm.
I said 5
of course
to start.
I did. Well, yeah.
I said 5 to start. You said, we both had OKC. Brad, did you have, you had Pacers in 9?
Yeah.
I think Brad had, didn't Brad have Pacers? He loved the Pacers coming to this
No,
year.
It was Freddie Coleman. No, he was not
Oh,
there.
Freddie Coleman.
It was only the brother.
Freddie Coleman,
Everybody wants to abandon Freddie Coleman now. They want to leave
him
on that island.
Freddie.
Yeah, Pacers in 6.
You had Pacers in 5, man.
No.
No.
I thought the Thunder were always going to win this. I just look at the number on a, the Thunder would actually sweep.
You had a sweep.
I was incorrect on that, and I think they will now win in 5.
Got it. All right, so he's now on the 5.
He's with you.
He had sweeps start. Unfortunately,
wrong.
To you.
Unfortunately, Brad, you are out of the competition.
I'm out of the poo.
You're out of it. I'm still in it. Jason is the favorite, I would say right now, though. Yeah. With Thunder in 6.
Got to win a game in Indiana. It's gonna be tough.
They do have to do that. Absolutely.
That's right.
I think I'm gonna be on the Thunder tomorrow, or I might be on the Pacers. You never know. You never know, Brad.
Tune in to find out.
You never know.
There you go.
Anyway, that's the update. We'll see on Halliburton's leg.
So Deion Sanders is ill and has been out of the office recently. It was reported this morning. And made me look up. Heather Dennis got started over at ESPN, but First Take was talking about it. And Molly, who worked with Deion over at NFL Network, Molly Karam, and Stephen A. Smith were both talking about it. And Molly was talking about prayers. That's what I looked up. I was, Deion's that ill that we're having to pray for him? And I suppose it's at least for those that are close enough to him, maybe they know a little more. Right now they're just calling it unspecified health issue. His son came out on Sunday, his eldest son, and said that at some point here soon, his father will talk about what he's going through. Said on Sunday he's feeling well. But again, I mean, here we are on Tuesday, and it made First Take just in terms of them talking about, you know, prayers for Deion Sanders and what he's going through. He's 57 right now. Remember, he's had the issues with his, toes?
Yep.
The digits on his feet. He's had several, or at least a couple of them, amputated in terms of his health journey. And so it's been one that's certainly been a challenging one for him post-career. In late May, Sanders mentioned a health issue in a podcast with former NFL quarterback corner Asante Samuel. But did not provide details on what that was. He has dealt, as we said, with the health issues before. In 2022, it was 2 toes on his left foot amputated because of blood clots that developed from a previous surgery. And then in 23, Sanders had a procedure to relieve clots in both of his legs and missed Pac-12 media day. So, it's again serious enough now that it's making the rounds. Again, Heather Dinich has spoken, has written about it over at ESPN. And they were calling for prayers for Deion, who, again, still, 57, you look at it, you say young man, but clearly his body's been through a lot already with the issues with blood clots. Hopefully this is not something that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time. Colorado opens the season August 29th against Georgia Tech. I suppose as we get through June here, we're about a third of the way through the month. We're getting up on it. The more you look up here, the closer we're getting to college football season. One reason we'll be talking to Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian, covers Tigers football the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to him at 1:25. We're getting close here.
And yes.
So, anyway, hope is that that Deion's going to be all right. He did cancel a speaking engagement June 8th down in Florida because of this issue. So it's serious enough, like I said, that some things have been canceled. But hopefully it'll be temporary.
Yeah, college football needs him for sure. It's just so much better it is kind of nuts, like, how much juice he brings to college football and to, those late-night slates,
yep.
See
if he can still do it without his son, right, who he's always had.
Do we know who the Colorado quarterback is?
We probably should know at this point.
I feel like they got a big one.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they did. I'm sure he didn't replace his son.
They got the Liberty quarterback.
Oh, that's
Salter.
Right.
He's right. A dog.
Huh.
He is a dog. And they got the Juju Lewis kid, the freshman, but it'll be Salter's job next year.
Okay.
So Colorado should be pretty damn good with Salter, because Salter had Liberty in the New Year's Day playoff. They were in the mix for the college football playoff this year, and he had them in he had him in the you know, the New Year's Day Bowl thing, you know, a couple of years ago. So absolutely, yeah, Caden Salter is going to be really good for them. I'm a fan. So yeah, we need to get Deion back on those sidelines, man.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, again, his son wouldn't have said he's doing well on Sunday if and even said that much if it was more serious. That's my hope, at least.
Yep.
But I'm with you, Deion Sanders. No matter how you feel about him, he's sure polarizing. He's great for college football. Brings a ton of attention to it, and I'm eager to see what the winning percentage looks like post Shadur.
Yeah,
you know, because we've never seen it. We've never seen Deion with someone, you know, not his son playing quarterback.
On Deion though, like I do think he, like, last year kind of showed, you know, if you were one of those people, and I had my doubts, right? You know, I didn't like the way that they filmed everything at the beginning of the endeavor.
Sure,
how you cut all the, you know, as you say, curly heads.
Yeah,
you know. I didn't on TV. Oh, you know, it was on Brian. But there's no question that, you know, last year, them being, you know, a competitive outfit, you know, ranked, I believe at various points in the season, it showed that, like, Deion's, like, here, like, he's here to
time too.
You know, make stuff happen.
Lineman in there.
Yeah, exactly. And he's gonna get talent. He's shown that.
Uh huh.
He's getting big time talent. I don't know if they'll be the Big 12 favorite or anything like that, but, you know, it definitely feels like that. I mean, great hire for Colorado and a great situation that they're in right now with him, as long as they can keep him, you know.
Well, they're just biding their time, right, until Florida State ever comes, if they ever come and call them.
That is what it feels like, for sure. But enjoy it while you got it, man, because it's as good as it gets, it feels like, for Colorado.
Oh, man, imagine just tripling and quadrupling numbers that they're doing right now that'll go back down.
No doubt.
With whoever replaces them. They'll get somebody Deion likes or somebody hot, but it won't come close to what he is.
Yeah, they finished the season 23rd.
That's what I say. He's walking SportsCenter anytime he talks. Well, you're right on there. Headlines. Yep. You're not going to get that from
no doubt.
From and here's the best part. Backs it up. Like not just style. You're getting substance, as John points out. He's a program reviver. That Colorado program was dead.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
and in two short years,
he may have to revive the thing at Florida State.
He very well could.
Yeah, if our man doesn't.
But he will.
So weird that you talk about polarized. Mike, in terms of, it's never been in the middle. It's either been really great, undefeated year, they're getting screwed out of the college, or really bad.
No doubt. Who's the Florida State quarterback this year? That's the question.
I feel like we've looked this up.
Oh, it's the Boston College transfer, Castellanos. He'll be good.
Of people like him.
Yeah, it was very, like, he basically sat out at Boston College for the end of the season or something. Like, he didn't. So he'll be damn good. But you could not get worse quarterback play than they got last year at Florida State. Between Uyunglele and Glenn and the other dude, I mean, it was a disaster last year.
Well, since we're on college football, that just take me into my next one here. There's a list came out yesterday. It's the top 10 AAC football games, the 2025 season, done by Blaine Gilmer over at FBS Schedules. Okay. 2025. What interested me was how many Memphis would be involved in if we're picking the top 10 AAC football games going into next year. Memphis is not involved in the game ranked number one. However, they are in three of the next of the top four.
They're not counting Army Navy, are they?
No.
Okay. Let's say
South Florida Navy.
That's number one.
This late season clash between two title hopefuls could determine who plays for the conference crown. South Florida returns dynamic quarterback Byrum Brown, whose playmaking through the air is matched by the poise in big moments. This was written yesterday, so I'm imagining it's pretty up to date. It's about Blake Horvath, who we know well, the Navy quarterback, who's absolutely a stud. Midshipmen are balanced, tough, and deep defensively with all AAC talents like Landon Robinson and Luke Pierce anchoring their front seven. The contrast in styles make this a much watch. They're high on South Florida, almost to the point it feels like where maybe in replacement of Army. Remember how high we figured Army, the record they had last year, going to be their schedule will get tougher. Memphis does not have Army, but their schedule we figured would get tougher in year two. They've got kind of South Florida in that spot. Tulane at Memphis is number two, November 7th. You'll notice a theme here too. Number three, Navy at Memphis, November 28th. Number four, South Florida at Memphis is the fourth of those top 10 games in the AAC this year. So, again, Memphis involved in three of the top four.
Yep.
and four of the top eight, because they've also got a Memphis at East Carolina game on November 15th listed at number eight. And again, here's the thing. All of those three games to start, three of the four games and all of the ones there to start, the ones you said that here are ranked the most important, 2, 3, and 4 in the AAC this year, all at home. Tulane at Memphis, Navy at Memphis, South Florida at Memphis. That's what we've talked about. That's the break in the schedule this year. I was telling one of our listeners that in a direct message. You're catching a real break here. All of your most important AAC games are going to be at Simmons Bank.
100%.
You know, the ones that probably are going to tell the tale about whether or not you're in the conference title game. I mean, you're going to get those games here.
It's a hell of a break.
So you're telling me I'm not having to go to Tulane. I'm getting Navy here, and I'm no UTSA. Keep saying that. I keep going back to make sure the team that got you and bit you, you know, last year obviously embarrassed you.
It's amazing.
So a lot of things. Listen, the way this is talked about, they've got you really top three, top four, kind of what we thought, but clearly in the mix. Even as they talk about with a new quarterback under center, I think Memphis is getting a benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
That with its resources, with the 21 games won the last 2 years, I think it is, that should be coming. But right now, the way this makes it look, they're giving Tulane the nod.
Yeah, that is
Tulane and maybe Navy, we'll see.
Yes, yes.
Tulane will be the favorite.
I understand that. I understand Navy, because Navy beat you and they're bringing back the QB, you know? Although, again, you do get that game at home.
It was weird not to – I don't see – UTSA Army is the ninth one, but that was the only Army game that I saw. I look at their schedule. Did they get another cupcake? And how much of it is because that Army-Navy game is not an AAC game, right? It throws off everything.
Yeah.
But since they can't get Navy in AAC, why are they not on there with – you know, at some point they got to jump on with you. I'm fine with it this year because you've got three tough ones already. But you do have them all here.
Yeah.
Got to go to East Carolina. That one could be tough. He mentions that one.
Yep.
We'll ask Frank Bonner more about those games at 125, which one he thinks will be the end-all, be-all in terms of if you had to boil it all down. My guess is that Navy at Memphis or Tulane at Memphis is going to be one of the ones he's got up there. But there you go. Again, it's a top 10 list. Memphis made three of the top four in terms of most important games in the AAC this year. Memphis football is right around the corner.
It really is. It'll be here before you know it. All right, we'll come back. I got some great stories in college sports to get to. Frank Bonner is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Going to be your best friend. They are here to guide you through the real estate process. If you're buying or selling a home, going to be glad you used them. Jennifer and her team will help you get into the home of your dreams, and they'll help you sell your home. Make the most money for your home. Consult you what's worth investing in, what's not. All the answers, they've got them. Reach out, SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number for now or for later. Like our man Reggie, he wasn't ready to sell till he was ready to sell. And that's usually how it goes. You shouldn't be forced or pressured into selling, especially if you and your family are not ready. And Reg waited, but he kept that number. And when he did finally make that call, Jennifer was sure there to help him. Helped him and Jesse get that home sold. Like for me back in 2018, it got me more money than I thought was possible. Helped me on the buying side as well, and they took care of everything for Reggie. Wrote the strongest offer, got an amazing home in a cove, got all their closing costs covered, and the sellers were super kind with everything. That's usually how it goes with Live Love. Everybody we've sent over has had a good experience. We have not been told of a bad one yet. So go have another good experience or your first great experience. Calling 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
There was a great development last night in the world of college sports. You know, you mentioned it, keeping the dream alive in a time where it feels like all we ever do is talk about how the dream is dying for any have-not in college athletics because of the House settlement or because of NIL or because of this, because of that. But we did get a very special story last night in college baseball as Luke Mistone hit a go-ahead home run in the eighth inning to help Murray State beat Duke 5-4 in Game 3 in advance to Omaha in the Men's College World Series for the first time in program history, which obviously is just an amazing accomplishment for any team to be able to do that for the first time, but especially, you know, Murray State. And then you learn about Murray State, right? You see the tweets and the you know, reporting about them. Dan Skirka is the coach, and according to I gotta find the gentleman's name. I don't want to attribute this, and you know, not have the name. Griffin Damaris. He's here in Memphis. He works at News Channel 5. He tweeted last night that the stadium that Murray plays in holds 800 people, and that the head coach cuts the damn grass.
Skirka.
Dan Skirka cuts his own grass. I don't even think they make Memphis' coach do that, do they? I mean, come on, man. Maybe that needs to be a job requirement.
No.
You got to start cutting your own grass.
We said we should take a field trip, though, and watch these guys.
Yes. Well, we're going to have to go to Omaha. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go to Omaha to do it.
Not us. I meant Memphis baseball. Or anything. Oh, okay. Aspiring to make it to Omaha.
Yeah.
We should. What a story for Murray State. Hey, what would have been apparently a good story for Duke, too. They were there, would have been not first since 1961 for them. So it's not like Duke is some, you know, going to Omaha every year either. Either way, it was going to be pretty historic for Murray State. It's first ever for Duke, would have been first in 61.
Brad, I sent you an interview that the coach did on 92.9's DM. I think you'll appreciate this, Jason, just because he had the, you know, the post game. And again, obviously, you know, you play in front of 800 fans. You have I assume they have literally no NIL at all to speak of. I don't even know how they get, you know, who they recruit, where they recruit. I don't know. But, you know, to be able to, they beat Ole Miss.
Yes.
They beat Duke twice. Yeah, I mean, you got to feel like there's some divine intervention with that. And do we have this audio? This is Dan Skirka with his son, by the way. He's holding his son on his hip, you know, as he's talking about this. This is what he had to say.
God is great. You know, I watched some of those games last night. Coach Forbes, Coach McDonald, just, you know, in victory and loss, praising and pointing everyone to the word. And that's what we try to do. We try to lead these guys through this great game. We try to be the example and lead them. And it's just a great group. We're so blessed. We're so blessed.
Coach Shook. You've got your son in your arms there, Keegan. I know he means a lot to this program. We've got some video that we're going to roll in right now. And just talk a little bit about what he has meant and what it's been like to have your son experience this ride with you.
Him and my wife and all these guys. I love them all. They're unbelievable. They're waiting right here. They think they're going to get me. I'm on camera. Fellas, I appreciate everything, but we got to go right now, all right?
You bet. All
that
good.
That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. And I will be max betting Murray State's opponent in the first game of the World Series.
Again, always looking for.
Yeah. That, my friends, is what
financial
just happy to be here.
Improvement opportunities. Sounds I thought like, you were going to say something about their faith and how strong.
No, I thought it was
powerful
sweet.
Faith
I thought it was sweet.
It's a betting opportunity.
It certainly is that. There's no doubt about that. But I thought it was sweet. You know, he's talking about how he's, you know, leaned on. Let's give him a gospel award. Let's give it to him. I think he deserves it after that one.
I don't think he needs a song award, but yes, that was a testimony.
Let's give we got to give Murray State some kind of award for this.
I don't know that they need an award, but it's a great story. I do. I mean, the fact that he's saying how blessed they are when we know that typically they're up against it and teams like them don't have a chance, it is nice.
Yeah.
Feels like that's going to be perhaps one day factored out of college football. Or we might be on a road where we're headed that way.
Yeah.
Gonna keep Cinderella around in college basketball though, at least for the time.
Let's hope so. I mean, That's what college sports is supposed to be about, man. Is that, you know, good stories like this can still be possible in an age of, you know, increasing budgets and NIL, and, you know, that you can go to Murray State and you can somehow still beat Duke. I mean, that is the thing. Games have to be played on the field. So Texas Tech is going to have $55 million in NIL for their athletes this year. And they gotta play. They still got to go out there and play the games. I mean, so you can spend all the money you want. I'm sure Duke's budget was 10 times Murray State's, and probably more. But they still lost twice to them. You know, that's the other thing. It's like they didn't lose once.
Yeah.
They lost twice.
I doubt Duke's is SEC level, though.
No, it probably isn't.
Again, it would have been, like I said, first time since 61 for them.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, it was, but it, they're not a Murray powerhouse State. But no. I don't even, I would love to know what the budgets are, you know, just resources and, you know, NIL and all that. I mean, I'd love to know what Murray State spends on baseball, man. I guess they do have football, don't they? It's like, it's just FCS. It's just not Division I. I think they do play it, though, you know, on some level, but it won't cost nearly as much. So, anyway, yeah, I thought it was a great, great story there. And, you know, who knows where they go? Who knows how far it goes for them? But just getting to Omaha feels like it will be more than enough for that program.
Doesn't have to be SEC all filled up with SEC teams every year. Good. Nice little story here from Murray State.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Nice. So a little guy gets to experience Omaha, and, you know, that's what it is all about. All right, we'll come back. Frank Bonner is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, the house settlement, you know, what he saw in spring practice, what to expect, lots to get to. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.